from the very bottom of Chavav Amidbeis, the bottom line. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zera, Tashma mipolin va'adashim, dehapolin va'adashim meikara chazulachos, shadinu bekedera idchuluhu, gamar bishulayu chazulu. So just this part of a larger discussion the Gemara was having on yesterday's daf about whether we say yesh or ein mukta lechatzi Shabbos. Is there this idea that when something is considered mukta on Shabbos or Yontif, can that status change on Shabbos or Yontif? So the Gemara tries to prove this from a case of beans and lentils. So beans and lentils raw are edible. You can chew on them raw. But the second you start to cook them, so before they're fully cooked, they're not really edible. They're in this in-between stage. And only once they fully cook do they then become edible again. So the fact that beans and lentils can kind of change status, you know, multiple times throughout the course of Shabbos or Yontif would seem to indicate that there is this concept that mukta can change, you know, in the middle of Shabbos or Yontif. So the Gemara just has a textual question. Amar le'abaye v'litameich tikshelecha kederus da'alma. Da'astam kederus da'alma ben ashmashos rosh chosein. So Abaye just wonders, why does the Gemara focus only on the specific case of beans and lentils? You could have really presented this regarding any dish of food. Let's say, for example, it's half an hour before Yontif, and you're putting up your or Shabbos, and you're putting up your food to, you know, to eat that night. And right now, as Shabbos is beginning, the food is not edible, but you are going to eat it tonight. So, in other words, the question basically is that concept that right now it's not edible, right now it's mukta, but it will become edible later, is a concept that can apply to any dish of food. Why are we limiting it only to beans and lentils? So the Gemara says, Ela Gemaro bi de adam lo kami bayalan, ki kami bayalan Gemaro bi de shamayim. The Gemara clarifies that the scope of the question really was not regarding something which, you know, based on your own input, your own man-made involvement can change, because that is a totally different issue. Whether, in other words, if I'm involved, so maybe I should have completed the act before Yontif began. But if something would complete naturally, it's just, if you just let it sit on the fire, it's going to cook by itself. You don't have to do anything to it. So then you could argue maybe that case would be different than all the other previous cases that the Gemara was discussing within the framework of that question. Okay. Then,
is this the theory of Cholent?
What do you say?
Is this the theory of Cholent that you put it on?
Yeah, it could be a Cholent. It could be anything. It could be any dish of food that you put up before Shabbos that you let cook into Shabbos. Yeah. Okay, so then Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, Havale Hahu Bukhra. So Rabbi Yehuda Nesia had an animal that was a Bukhor. Shadre Lekameh de Rabbi Yami, Savar de Lo Lemechzie. So he sent it to Rabbi Yami because he wanted him to inspect it for a mum. Now, Bazman Azeh, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a Mizbeach, so it's actually better that the animal has a mum. Because if a Bukhor does not have a mum, then you can't do anything with it because you can't offer it as a carbon today. We don't have a Mizbeach. But on the other hand, you can't really do anything with it either because it has Kedusha. So you want the animal to develop what's called a mum kavua, permanent, a real, you know, bona fide mum. And then by doing so, you can basically deconsecrate the animal and you can use it as chulin and give it to the kohanim. You don't have to offer it as a carbon. So Rabbi Yehuda Nesia sent his Bukhor to Rabbi Ami on Yontif for inspection to see if it had a mum that would qualify it to no longer be a Bukhor. So Amar le Rabbi Yizrika v'itema Rabbi Yirmia, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rab Shimon, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says that basically Rabbi Ami refused to look at it because he said it can't inspect mumin on Yontif, to which Rabbi Yizrika or Rabbi Yirmia then responded, but we know that there's a document in Machlokas in the Gemara in Bechoros and Erevin between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to whether one is allowed to inspect mumin on Yontif, and we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that is permissible. So in other words, what's your hesitation? Why won't you look at this animal? So the Gemara then says, Hadar shadr lekameh d'Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, savar d'lo lemechzie. The same thing happened again. He sent the animal to a different amora, to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, and he also didn't want to look at the mumin on Yontif. So again, Amar le Rabbi Yirmiyah v'yisema Rabbi Yizrika, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. The same thing. He said, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that it's permissible. Why won't you look at the mumin on Yontif? So Amar le Rabbi Abba, my time lo shvaktinu l'rabbanan l'miyavad uvda ki Rabbi Shimon. So then Rabbi Abba turns to Rabbi Zrika or Rabbi Yirmiyah and says to him, why are you trying to get the rabbis to follow Rabbi Yehuda and not follow Rabbi Shimon? In other words, he's basically asking him, well, how do you know that we follow Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe Rabbi Shimon's correct. Maybe you're not allowed to look at mumin on Yontif. That's why they keep on refusing. So Amar le va'at ma biyadcha. So then Rabbi Zrika or Rabbi Yirmiyah respond to Rabbi Abba and say, well, how do you know? How do you know that we follow, you know, Rabbi Shimon? So Amar le hachi Amar Rabbi Zera halach Rabbi Shimon. We have a tradition. That's what Rabbi Zera said. Rabbi Zera said that we in fact pass in like Rabbi Shimon, that it's in fact usher to inspect mumin on Yontif. So then the Gemara says, Amar mandu ezke ve'esak lahasam va'agmere l'shmaita mipume demara. So some guy said, you know what, I'm going to go up to Eretz Yisrael and I'm going to sort this out. about. I'm going to ask Rabbi Zera. I'm going to figure out, did he really say this? Do we really follow Rabbi Shimon on this issue or not? So the Gemara says, Kisalik Laha. So when he got to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechil Rabbi Zera, he found Rabbi Zera. Amar Lei, Amar Mar Halachik Rabbi Shimon. Did you really say that we pass like Rabbi Shimon, that you're not allowed to inspect Mumin on Yantiv? Amar Lei Lo, Anam Istabra Amar. He says, I never said that I have a tradition that I know for a fact that we follow Rabbi Shimon. I said that it's illogical that Rabbi Shimon is correct. Why is it logical? Midiktani b'mesnisin Rabbi Shimon Omer kol she'ein mumo nikar miba od yom ein zem min amuchan. The Mishnah said earlier that if according to Rabbi Shimon, if I have an animal that has a mum, but it's not a recognizable mum, it's not an obvious mum, it's not a mum that I could see right off the bat that this animal, you know, has a serious mum. So if that mum was not recognizable from when Yantif began, then it's not muchan. In other words, it's not designated, it's not set aside from beforehand, meaning to say it's basically mukta. You're not allowed to look at it. And when the Braisa quotes this opinion, that in other words, that if the animal doesn't have a real bona fide, you know, obvious mum before Yantif, that it's mukta, the Braisa presents that opinion as that of the Chachamim, even though it's really Reb Shimon talking. So the fact that we're presenting that opinion as that of the Chachamim implies that that's the rule, that's what everyone follows, and that would seem to imply that we paskin like Reb Shimon. So the Gemara wants to know, my Havila, what was the conclusion? In other words, how in fact do we paskin on this issue? Are you allowed to inspect mumin on Yantif or not? So Amar Rav Yosef Tashma, Desalya Ba'ashle Ravrave, which is an expression that means that we hang the psak on these great, on the opinions of these great rabbis. The Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Yoshua ben Levi, Amar Rav Yosef ben Shaul, Amar Rebbe Mishum Kahala Kadisha de Virushalayim, Rav Shimon Vachaver of Amru, Halacha Kareb Meir. So they said, Rav Shimon and his colleagues said, that we paskin like Reb Meir. So the Gemara says, Amru Vaha Inhu Kashishu Minei Tuva. Why is the Gemara quoting this opinion, which again, we'll see in a second what this opinion is, the opinion of Reb Meir was much younger than all of these rabbis, all these Amoraim that we just cited in the Gemara. We should have pinned this on Reb Shimon or on any of the other, you know, rabbis that were just cited. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela b'shitas Reb Meir Amrua. This, in other words, the Gemara just meant to say that this was the opinion of Reb Meir. It was known as Reb Meir's opinion, but it wasn't exclusively his opinion. He wasn't the first one to say it. This non, based, again, based on the Mishnah Bechoros, ha-shochet es ha-bechor va-achar kach hera es mumo, Reb Yehuda matir Reb Meir omer ho-o v'nishcha chalo api mumche aser. Alma kasav Reb Meir, re'iyas b'chor lav ki re'iyas trefa. Re'iyas b'chor mechayim, re'iyas trefa li'achar shchita. Umina, re'iyas trefa afilu b'yantif, re'iyas b'chor me'er of yantif. This was just known as Reb Meir's opinion. The case in the Mishnah Bechoros is the following, is that let's say I go ahead and I shechted a b'chor on yantif. Now we know that me'ikar adin, you are allowed to shecht on yantif. It's ochel nefesh, it's mutter to shecht on yantif. And normally when you're shechting a regular animal, you don't have to assume, oh, the animal's a trefa, the animal has something wrong with it that will prevent me from eating it. The assumption normally is that the shchita is fine. So the problem here, however, is that you didn't inspect the animal prior to the shechita. You just shechted it, and then afterwards you showed it to a Talmud Chacham to figure out if it had a mum that was enough of a mum to qualify, you know, in other words, to basically disqualify it from Kedushas Bechor. So there's a machlokas in the Mishnah Bechoros whether you're allowed to eat that animal. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's fine. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda basically says that you basically lucked out. He says that you shechted the animal, you didn't know in advance whether it had a enough of a mum to disqualify it as a bechor. It turns out that it did. So Rabbi Yehuda says, since you lucked out and lemaisa the shechita was good, it was a regular animal, you're allowed to eat it. However, Reb Meir disagrees. Reb Meir says that even though it turned out that the mum was enough to disqualify it as a bechor, but the problem was that you shechted it without first getting, you know, your certification, your validation from the rabbi that this was enough of a mum, and therefore it's a problem. So what does Reb Meir hold, presumably? So the Gemara assumes that Reb Meir holds that there are two basic differences between inspecting a bechor to see if it has enough of a mum to disqualify it versus inspecting just a regular animal to see whether or not it's a trefa. What are the two basic differences? The first one is that when it comes to inspecting a bechor, Reb Meir insists that inspection has to happen prior to the shechita, while the animal is still alive, as opposed to, you know, inspecting an animal to see whether it's a trefa. By definition, that can only be done after it's dead. You can't, you know, obviously, you know, especially in times of the Gemara, when they didn't have, like, for example, ultrasounds or things like that, where there was no way to look at anything internally unless you shechted it, by definition, that would only have to be done after the shechita. And the second difference between inspecting for a bechor versus inspecting for a trefa is that, again, at least according to Reb Meir, the trefa can be inspected on yantif itself. Because again, you have to know the animal has an internal problem before you can eat it. Because if it's a trefa, it's going to be usher to eat. Whereas re'iyas bechor, inspecting a bechor for a mum, has to be done on erev yantif. Those are the two differences that the Gemara presents, at least according to Reb Meir, between inspecting a bechor for a mum and inspecting a regular animal for a trefa.
So all you're looking at is external. You couldn't see its lung.
For a bechor, correct. Yeah, because, yeah, exactly.
So you're looking different obvious defects.
Well, we're going to get to that in a second. It's not necessarily obvious, because there are movement that can disqualify a Bechor that doesn't have to be obvious. That's going to be part of the next part of the Gemara. It could be small things as well. We'll see in a second. So the Gemara that wants to know, Amar le'abaye, atu hasam biroen mumin plige, the kenasa plige, to Amar Rabba bar Barchanam Rabbi Yochanan, bedukin sheba ayin kule amalu plige da asr mishim de mishtanin, ki plige be mumin sheba guf. Rameir suffer gazrinan mumin sheba guf, atu mumin sheba ayin, for Rabbi Huda suffer lo gazrinan. This is exactly the issue that we were just dealing with. Now, the question becomes that it's the machlokas here between Rameir and Rabbi Huda and the Mishnah Bechoros is not so much whether you can inspect the animal, you know, the mum on yantif. The issue more is, are we going to penalize you for not doing so? Or in other words, if you shechted it without first doing so. And the Gemara clarifies. Let's say, for example, it's a very minor type of a mum that could be easily overlooked, or a mum that could possibly change. The example the Gemara gives is what's called dukin sheba ayin, which is some sort of like cataracts in the animal's eye. So in other words, everyone agrees that when it comes to, in other words, if you shechted a bechor without first checking for cataracts, and it turns out that it had cataracts, everyone says you're not allowed to eat that on yantif. Why not? Because that's a type of mum that's subject to change. That's a mum that maybe it wasn't there 10 minutes ago and maybe it's here now. So that you for sure have to inspect. The machlokas, however, is regarding a much more obvious, severe type of a mum. What the Gemara calls, a mum shebaguf. In other words, like a bodily mum. Let's say the animal's missing a leg. It's missing a something which is very obvious that's not going to change. It's not, in other words, it's not like the animal had a leg 5 minutes ago and now it lost it. It's a very obvious type of mum. So Rameir says that although that type of mum should have been obvious, but we have to impose a gzera and say, don't eat that animal if you didn't check for the obvious mums, because we're afraid that it may lead you to, not checking for the less obvious ones. Whereas Rabbi Huda obviously did not subscribe to that gzera. He said no. He said that, yes, the less obvious mumin you have to check for in advance, but the obvious ones, like missing a leg, for example, you could check even without inspection first. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, masnisa nami deka, dekatane, Rav Meir omer ho v'nishcha chalo api mumcha aser, shma mina, kinasuhu dekakane shma mina. And the Gemara says, in fact, it's actually meduyak from the Mishnah. It actually sounds this way, that the issue at hand here is more of a kenas issue. It's not a question about whether you can inspect a mum in the first place. That's not the machlokas. The machlokas is, are we going to penalize you for not inspecting a more severe type of a mum? Okay, then the Gemara says, Ami Vardina Chaze Bukhra Devena Siahava, Biomatova Lohava Chaze. So this guy, Ami, would used to inspect Mumin. It was his job to inspect all the Mumin for the animals, for the Karbanos, for the Bechoros that would come through the house of the Nasi, but he wouldn't do so on Yantif. So Asuva Amr Lil Rabbi Ami, Amr Lahu Shapir Kavid Lo Chaze. So they told to Rabbi Ami that this guy wouldn't inspect Mumin on Yantif. He said, he's right, you're not supposed to do that. So the Gemara says, Ini, is that true? Vahar Rabbi Ami Gufi Chaze. Rabbi Ami himself used to inspect Mumin on Yantif. So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami really would inspect the mumin on Erev Yantif, and on Yantif itself, he would just kind of clarify the details of the story. He would try to figure out how exactly this mum come about. Some guy brought an animal for Rava to look at on Erev Yantif. So Yigamara says, Hava Yosef Rava v'kachai afresh. Rava was busy, getting ready for Yantif. He was shampooing his hair. He was doing whatever. So Dali Ene v'chazi the mumah. He picks his eyes up and he sees that there's a mum on the animal. So Amarli, he says to this guy, Zilha idna v'salamachar. He says, go home today, go get ready for Yantif. Come back to me tomorrow on Yantif and we'll have a discussion. Ki asalamachar, when the guy comes back on Yantif, Amar, so Rava says to him, Hechiava uvda. He asks him, what happened? How did this animal develop a mum? Amar le, hava shadyan sari b'har gisa dehutza, v'hava ihu b'idach gisa, v'hadi devay lemichal, ayo reisha yufrate hutza lesif vasei. So the Gemara says what happened was that the guy said to Rava, basically I was feeding my animal, and I threw him some barley over the fence, and there were some thorns on the fence, and the animal cut its lip on the thorns while trying to eat the barley. So Amar le, so Rava says to this guy, dilma ad garamtale, maybe you did that on purpose, maybe you caused him. In other words, maybe you purposely put the barley there because you wanted the animal to get a mum, because you wanted it to lose its kedusha as a bechor. So I'm really loved. The guy said, no, I didn't do that. I wasn't even thinking about that. I just wanted to feed my animal, and it happened to be that there were thorns by the fence. So the Gemara says, we may not tamer de grama asr. Well, how do we even know? In other words, even let's say the guy did it on purpose. Let's say the guy wanted purposely to cause the animal to develop a mum. How do we know that that's even problematic? Disanya, the pasuk says in Parshas Emor, mum lo yihyevo, that a bechor, that the animal cannot have a mum. Ainly ala shalo yihyevo mum. So I only know from this pasuk that I'm not allowed to actively give the animal mum. I can't, you know, take a needle and actually, you know, or a knife and cut part of the animal. Minayin shelo yigrum lo al yedei davar acher shelo yavi vatzeko devela v'aniach lo agabe ha'ozen kedei sheyavo hakelav yitlanu. How do I know that I can't basically passively cause it? Let's say I'll put some dough on the animal's ear or some cake or whatever, and a dog will come and bite the ear off, and it'll cause it to have a mum. Tamad lomar kol mum amar mum v'yomar kol mum, from the superfluous word kol mum lo yevo. That teaches me that I'm not allowed to cause the animal to have a mum in any fashion, whether it's active, whether it's passive, whether it's direct, whether it's indirect. It's going to be usher in all cases. Okay. Then the Mishnah says behema shemisa lo yezizena mimakoma. If an animal died on yantif, it's muktzah. You're not allowed to move the animal. Umaisa v'shalu es Rabbi Tarfon alehav yal hachalash in itmeis v'nichnas leves hamedrash v'shava amrulo lo yezizem mimakoma. They asked Rabbi Tarfon about, in other words, both about an animal that died as well as about a doe, about challah that became tamei, and in both cases he said that they're muktzah, that you're not allowed to move them. So the Gemara asks lema tanan stama de lo kereb Shimon. Let's say that this mishnah that we just cited is against Reb Shimon. Disanya Reb Shimon Omer mechaschin es adelun lifnei abehima ve'es hanavela lifnei aklavim. Reb Yehuda Omer im lo haisa nevela me'erev Shabbos asur. This is a mishnah that we've quoted many times already in this masechta and also back in masechta Shabbos, which is a machlokas about the following. According to Reb Shimon says I could take either a gourd. Again, the case of the gourd is not so relevant to us, but the case that's more relevant is the case of an animal. So let's say I have an animal carcass. The animal died on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. The case happens to be here on Shabbos, and so according to Reb Shimon, I'm allowed to chop up the carcass of the dead animal to feed to my dogs. However, according to Reb Yehuda, you can only do that if the animal died before Shabbos, because basically Reb Yehuda assumes that it's muktzah. And again, as we mentioned many times in Masechta Shabbos, Reb Shimon for the most part denies most of Hilchos Muktzah. So basically that case in the Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, where Reb Shimon says that I can cut up the carcass and feed it to my dog, even though the animal died on Shabbos itself, would seem to be against this Mishnah, because the Mishnah that we just quoted here says that you're not allowed to move an animal that died on Yontif or Shabbos. So again, so seemingly our Mishnah is against Reb Shimon. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. Afilu Temer Reb Shimon, Moder Reb Shimon Bevali Chaim Shemesu Sha'asur. And it could be that Reb Shimon, that although Reb Shimon, generally speaking, denies the principle of Muktzah for the most part, perhaps Reb Shimon agrees that if an animal died on Shabbos or Yontif, that might be problematic, that might be Muktzah. So the Gemara clarifies. So there was a further machlokas within this opinion of Reb Shimon. So again, as we've just noted, Reb Shimon, generally speaking, denies almost all of Hilchos Mukta. So the question is, well, how far-reaching is that denial of Hilchos Mukta? So according to Mar Bara Meimar's version of Reb Shimon, so he says, you're right, that, in other words, Reb Shimon basically denies Mukta, except in this one case where the animal died on Shabbos or Yatav. So you're right. So according to that version of Mar Bara Meimar, then we can resolve that Mishnah and Shabbos and our Mishnah here by basically saying that, in other words, since the animal died on Shabbos, Reb Shimon agrees that it's problematic, that it's Mukta. But the problem is that there was another version of Reb Shimon, according to Mar Barei de Rav Yosef in the name of Rava, who says that Reb Shimon even denies Mukta here, even in the case where the animal died on Shabbos or on Yatav, even there Reb Shimon denies it. So now we're back to square one. Now it sounds like, according to this version, that Reb Shimon really cannot be the author of our Mishnah. To which the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, Tirguma ze'iri bevemas kachim. One could argue that the case of the Mishnah here is talking about an animal which is a karba, which has kedusha. So the Gemara in fact says, dekanami dekatani alehav yal hachalash initmes machala dekadisha behema dekadisha. So in other words, and in fact, the Gemara says that it actually sounds this way because the other example that our Mishnah gave was a case of challah, right? In other words, if you set aside dough that you were going to give to the kohen as part of a fresh challah, and then it became tamei, that's something which has kedusha to it. So presumably, just as that case has kedusha, so the case of the animal presumably is a karban as well. So the Gemara clarifies, ela taima de kadisha ha de chulin sharia ha nicha lemar bere de Rav Yosef mishmei de Rava de Amar chalakaya Reb Shimon af bevali chayim shemesu shemutar in shapir el lemar bara meimar mishmei de Rava de Amar moda haya Reb Shimon bevali chayim shemesu shasur maikel meimar. Now the Gemara throws the question in the other direction. Now the Gemara says, well, now that you just told me that the case in our Mishnah is only talking about an animal which is a karban, only kadshim, it's not talking about a regular animal, so now those two shitos, those two versions of Reb Shimon that we quoted before are now going to be reversed in terms of which one is problematic. So the second sheet that we quoted before of Mar Barei de Rav Yosef, who says that Rav Shimon denies muktzah in all cases, even in the case where the animal died, so then it's fine. Now, because we basically said that a regular chulin animal that died on Shabbos or Yontif is not muktzah according to Rav Shimon. But according to the first version of the Gemara, according to Mar Barei de Rav Shimon, where he said, I'm sorry, according to the first version of Mar Bar HaMeimar, who said that Rav Shimon actually does subscribe to muktzah in this case, that would still seem to be a problem with this answer, because again, the whole answer in the Gemara was that that it's only by kajim, only by a karban, that Reb Shimon subscribes to muktzah, but by a regular animal he doesn't. So that point seems to be subject to a machlokas. So again, so the Gemara says no, it's not true. Hachem may askinan b'misukenes v'divrei akol. One could argue that no, the case is where the animal is deathly ill. If the animal is deathly ill, let's say the animal was minutes away from dying before Shabbos or Yontif began, and then it died 5 minutes after Shabbos or Yontif, that even Reb Shimon would agree. In other words, in all versions of Reb Shimon would agree that such an animal is going to be. In other words, in that case, the assumption is that it's going to certainly be mutter. Why? Because there, you knew in advance that the animal was going to die, so you had it in mind that you were going to want to chop it up and feed it to your dogs. So that could be the case of the Mishnah Masechah Shabbos. That the case of that Mishnah that Reb Shimon allows you to chop up the carcass and feed it to your dogs, even if the animal died on Shabbos or Yontif, that might only be talking about a case where the animal was deathly ill as Shabbos or Yontif was beginning. Okay. Then the Mishnah says, "Ein nimnin al habehema lechachila biyantiv, aval nimnin aleha me'erev yontov, v'shochten u'mechalkin b'neihem." So the Mishnah tells us that you are not allowed to basically divvy up or to portion out who's getting which part of the animal. Again, the Gemara's going to clarify what this means in a second on Yontif. But what you can do is that you can decide that on Erev Yontif and then on Yontif you'll just shech the animal, and then you'll kind of work out all the details afterwards. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "My einim, what does that mean?" Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel in poskin damim lechadchila al habehema biyontif. Basically, you can't have any sort of monetary transactions involving dividing up an animal, you have to pay X amount of dollars. You pay X amount of dollars for the animal. So hechiyav. So what should you do to avoid this problem? Amar Rav, maybe shtei behemosu ma'midan zoi tzozova omer zokazo. Take two animals that are worth the same amount of money, put them next to each other, and you should make some kind of declaration where you say zokazo. This one is like this. In other words, the issue here basically is that it's going to look like you're doing a business transaction on Shabbos or Yontif. It's like it looks like mekach u'memkar. So you want to basically minimize or mitigate the amount of business transaction looking things that you're doing. So by putting two animals next to each other and say, "Oh, this is like this," you're not really, engaging in a business transaction to the same extent. Tani nami hachi lo yomar adam lachaveiro hareini imcha besela hareini imcha b'shtayim avalomer lo hareini imcha lemechtzav lishlish v'lerivia. So instead of saying I'm gonna be in this animal for $1, for $2, for $100, for $1,000, you should say it based on percentages. I'm gonna get a half, a third, a quarter, whatever there, because again, it looks less business oriented basically when you're doing that.